What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the number one sports podcast in the Metro Detroit region. Without a theme song, that was mentioned to me earlier in the week that we don't have a theme song. I don't know if we're supposed to. But anyways, I'm the C of Teeing It Up with CNV. As always, with my co-host to be himself, Vladdy. What's going on, man?
Not much. Got a long week of work. I guess the most notable thing was we had Real Madrid Man City first leg a couple hours ago. We won the first leg of the We Suck This Season off against City.
You
And
mentioned first leg. Does that implies there's another
it's
meetup?
you play two games, aggregate score, away goals don't matter anymore, so it's pretty much they're gonna go to second games in Spain next Wednesday, and we will have to not lose
What is this for?
the Champions League.
Oh, is okay.
Yeah, it's the Mickey Mouse playoffs where UEFA decided to be a cartel and add more games for no reason. But that can be a rant for another time because I'll lose my mind. But basically, they're creating more games for more money because they don't care about the health of the players in the short run. But
We know of
yeah.
leagues that are prone to do that.
Yeah, but that was
American football.
other than that, I don't have much to note. This was an awful Super Bowl. I didn't do anything this weekend. I think I played a lot of Minecraft. I'm not gonna be if I'm being honest. I'm kind of hitting that
You're
two
back
week.
on that
I'm
train? I
hitting that
never
2 week
got into
phase.
Minecraft.
What?
I said I never got into Minecraft. It's like I have like one of the least like I need like a the directions to do Legos type thing. It's why I could have never been an engineer. Is like my, in Minecraft with no like objectives or goals. It's like why I don't really like GTA, where because it's just kind of you go around and do stuff. I've
Yeah.
never been a fan of that kind of stuff.
That I can understand. It's just I grew up playing it, so every time there's kind of a new big update, we have that 2 week phase, and so we're kind of in the middle of that right now with some friends. That's always a good time, talking with a couple people and just chatting shit and killing time. But how are you?
Building stuff.
Building stuff, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I know the game. I'm good. I also not much going on. I had a slow weekend. I watched a lot of sports Saturday. I basically watched everything you could watch. From the Red Wings to Michigan State to some college basketball and some other NHL. And then Sunday, went over to the neighbors back home for the Soupy. Wasn't really exciting or anything to note. We'll obviously recap that in a couple minutes. Today we're just going to talk about the Super Bowl. Obviously the game itself wasn't much, but all the what it is a social icon and kind of outlooks from the game as we close down the NFL season and we now enter that time where there's no more football. And we're also going to talk about the hometown squad, the Michigan State Spartans, what they did in the last week, where they're going, and all that good stuff. So let's get into it. Michigan State, since we last talked, 1-1. They closed out the West Coast trip with a second loss, going 0-2, 63-61 to UCLA. I'll kind of, for the actual game, kind of lean on you a little bit. I tried my best to watch it. A 10 p.m. tip-off. I made it through about halfway through the first half, fell asleep on the couch, woke up, and it was 12. Whatever, 05, 12-10, and it was the coaches shaking hands, and the score said 63-61. So.
Yeah, the game specifically was a lot of, let's say, classic Michigan State. They lost the turnover battle by 13, 16 to 3. And so when you're a team that cannot shoot and doesn't really heat up in a sense, you need to make sure that you're playing good fundamental basketball. They didn't do that. They were able to kind of battle for the majority of the first half, then they kind of slipped up and put themselves in a hole for the second half. They clawed their way back, made it a very, very compelling game, a very interesting game for those of us who could stay awake. Not a shot at you, just you're right. 10 p.m. tip off is ridiculous.
Can't control it when it's on the West Coast. It's more the 9 o'clock at the Breslin
We'll get into
that I
that
had some
too, but
frustrations for.
Yeah, and again, turnovers killed us. Obviously, we know the shooting problems.
Yeah, I like from an outlook, it's like, and to recap that West Coast, you mentioned the shooting problems is like, I'm kind of to the point where like I just they came back down to earth to me, and that they're not a top 10 team in the country.
No.
They're not, I don't even think they're a top 20 team in the country personally. I think they're probably in that in and out of the rankings 20 to 30 spot. That's probably where they are talent wise and what they are. And you're not going to beat Big Ten, good Big Ten teams and good teams in general when you shoot like that on the road specifically. And I think that's abundantly clear as, and the competition, we'll get into the competition that they're going to see in the next couple of weeks. But that was my takeaway from those. The other thing, I don't know if you noticed, and I watched like just like a hair of UCLA and Penn State because that was on Saturday night as well, is that UCLA crowd is awful. Like, did you, it was empty and quiet, and all you heard the entire night was go green, go what, like every like it wasn't like you had like states had their moments on the road where you get one of the or two of those cheers is like that's really all you heard. I was so unimpressed by a basketball school's like atmosphere,
I
so to
think
speak.
your problem is that they haven't been a basketball school for 60 years, since John Wooden was still alive.
Don't know about that. Like they've been a top 25 team. You're right. They had a long slump, and I'm talking about our lifetime. They had a long slump, and then kind of this like, I don't want to call it like the post Lonzo Ball era. They've been at least like a five seed, pretty much five every year. Besides the year they made the Final Four, they were an 11 seed because they played us in the
Yeah,
first
because
four.
what's his face? Was it Aaron Henry or Gabe Brown who couldn't box out the free throw, and that's why we lost that game? I forget which one, but that's not what we're here to talk about. You're right, the crowd was weak. There was a lot of Spartans. I won't go as completely far that they didn't exist, because when UCLA was kind of hitting their shots or kind of making key buckets, it was loud, but it wasn't a road environment. Now, I understand Michigan State's a massive school. There's a big alumni base pretty much everywhere. And they were able to kind of
Yeah, but like,
fill in fans
so is
for both of those games.
UCLA.
It was a USC thing as well. But I understand that it's just nobody cares. No one cares about
Yeah.
sports on the West Coast. We saw it with the Super Bowl with the Rams a couple of years ago, where the city of LA was not in the top 10 or 15 in terms of city markets in the United States for viewership numbers. They just don't care. And to be fair, I don't necessarily blame them. There's so much else to do there. Most of them are. You're kind of raised in that materialistic show-off lifestyle, rodeo drive. They don't give a shit about basketball.
And yeah, they don't give a shit about basketball, and
You should
it's
see a
like,
UCLA football game, or you should see even a
yeah,
USC football
no.
game. I guess UCLA is a bad example because that talk
USC
about.
is probably the only, USC football is probably the only thing that gets any rise out of anybody there, sports wise.
Probably, and they still don't have that great of a turnout at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
So I guess
Yeah, it's a,
my point was you are correct. It was a weak crowd. It was not a typical quote unquote Big Ten environment road where you're going to Madison, you're going to Chrysler. It's certainly not Mackey or in Champaign where you're just looking around and you don't know what's going on and your teams are kind of frightened half the time. You're right.
yeah.
There was a contingent of Spartans and they willed the team on, had to come back in that second half fight and make it a close game. Kind of right at the end, both teams kind of traded opportunities to take the lead. There was not a lot of points scored at the end. It was just kind of missed shots and poor execution on drawn up plays out of timeouts. UCLA makes kind of a circus layup with about 7 seconds left. Obviously, Michigan State draws a timeout, gets Jaden Akins a pretty good, op not open, but a pretty good look at a three pointer. As we know, Michigan State doesn't like to make three pointers this season, so that one didn't go in. They lose the game. It is what it is. Like you said, you lose both on the kind of the LA trip. You kind of had the use that extended time off to get ready for Oregon. You were awful there. We'll get into that. The last thing I want to say, and you and I were talking about it right before we got on, was Peacock needs to stop playing the Big Ten commercial every single time we go to break. It is a great commercial and it does not need to be oversaturated. Every single time we went to break against UCLA, you just hear, I wanna live forever. And you got the little jingles going on in the background, and you're seeing the country and the little animated things. Again, brilliant commercial, but I don't need to see it every time. And also, Pauly Pavilion. I swear the words Pauly Pavilion were said 150 times during that broadcast. I don't know which two guys were calling the game. The Peacock guys always elude me. It's not like a Jim Jackson or Gus Johnson where you know right
They'll
away.
have throw Robbie Hummel in every
Is it
once
Robbie Hummel?
sometimes. He wasn't calling that game. He'll
Okay.
and he's been upgraded to some, like, I've
I
seen him
like
on,
Robbie
like,
Hummel.
he's grown on me a lot too. I was very critical of him in past years, but he's grown on America because I've seen him do, like, Fox, like, primetime games on Saturday this year.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad he found a career where his knees don't need to be in use, because basketball quickly fell out of favor for him at the end of his playing career. That's a low blow for me. My apologies, Robbie Hummel, if this ever comes across to your sphere of
That was like 15 years ago,
Yeah, I'm
too.
aware of that. But yeah, we get into the Oregon game. We decided to make it very hard on ourselves for no reason. The key stat for me was we allowed 28 points off of turnovers to Oregon, and 25 of those were in the first half, which is ridiculous. And that's obviously the key to why Michigan State got back into that game. And I disagreed with the guys who were calling back, and they're like, oh, Michigan State really tightened up their defense there. I don't know who it was, but I'm like, no, they just stopped giving away free points. Half of Oregon's points were off of turnovers in the first half. So, yeah, it's hard to play defense when all five of your guys are sitting in the offensive end after you give up a steal. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, they shot the ball really well in the first half. Obviously, they put up a 50
They did.
burger. And most of that is, you don't realize Jeremy Fears, David Booker out for that one. Jeremy Fears missing him was huge. They tried in the first half to have Trey Holloman carry the ball up the floor, and he was, quite frankly, that's the one of the worst games I've ever seen him play. He ended up with 13 points in that game because he hit a couple threes in the second, and that was the best we've actually probably shot the ball from three in the second half. That's why you're able to basically double them up in the second half. But that was one of his worst games as a Spartan, as far as handling the ball and playing the point, and you really miss Fears from that. And in the second half, they let, obviously, when Jace Richardson is doing something like that, going for almost 30 points, like, you're going to let him get his touches, but they let him
Absolutely.
get the ball up more in the second half. He played more of that point guard, and that allowed, like, Holloman to play the two like he normally does, and he's getting his step in threes. Akins hit a couple big threes, and that was the biggest difference for me, is, like, I've been somewhat critical in that, like, I think Jeremy Fears can sometimes, like, he needs to go himself and generate. Sometimes don't like that he can't generate the offense himself. It was a similar complaint with AJ Hogard, and I don't even want to compare those two. But you don't realize what he does is the reason why he averages 6.5 assists a game, as far as how big of a position that is, not only in, like, college basketball, but the way Tom Izzo runs his offense,
Yes.
is the point guard position is uber important. And when you don't have a good ball handler like that, it's abundantly clear. And that was pretty much the tale of two halves, in that you had good ball handling in the first half and you didn't in the second half. Or you other way around, sorry.
The last thing I'd like to note is the shooting. You mentioned, I think it was Richardson doing his things, but I think Holloman himself. The team was 45% from deep and 89% from the line. That's the type of shooting performance you want to see, and the problem is that's a very isolated, I'll call it an incident, for this Michigan State team. But the Jace Richardson thing, I think maybe we highlight that one more time, because that was ridiculous. I'm not going to call it coming out party for us, because I think you and I have been on the Jace Richardson should be starting train for a few weeks, maybe months at this point. I've gone as far as say I think he's the best player, and he's sensational. That the step back into the step forward into the up and under into the little do-si-do spin bullshit off the glass where he gets his dad up and you see him and Mateen kind of pumping each other's chests and going, yeah, this is awesome. That was insane. An incredible performance to kind of keep Oregon away from us and at arm's length. It was amazing. And I guess maybe we can call that the coming out party for for Jace Richardson nationally. Yeah, and anything else from you?
No, not on that game, but as far as this team moving forward is, you're going to learn a lot about this team throughout, and I think they're going to come back to earth, and this is where you're going to have to see, can they continue to shoot the ball well? They're going to play six ranked teams in their last seven games here. Sorry, Illinois fell out of the rankings this week, five now. But I'm going to count them as six for the sake of my argument. You're going to play them after tonight against Indiana, the last seven. Like I said, six out of seven. Illinois at Illinois on a Saturday night, a team that really wants you, the way that that first game ended, the way that they were kind of really their fan base. And Frank Underwood himself was very critical of the referees and kind of like basically dismissed the fact that maybe they lost because Michigan State's better than them. They're going to come out very hungry in that. Then you go play Purdue, Michigan, Maryland, who's a very sneaky good team, has kind of fell through the praise of the Big Ten this year. And same with Wisconsin. They're 16th right now. They had some bad losses to start Big Ten play in that kind of December, early January, and they've been absolutely rolling since then and beating up on bad teams like they should, and has some good ranked wins as well. So you're going to have to carry that Oregon performance in. And I don't know where I stand. It's tough to say because you're just going to figure out, you're going to figure out who they are, for lack of a better way
Yes.
to put it. And I told you where I think I they're at right now. It's a little better than what the number next to their ranking says, but we're going to figure it out. They're even through that little losing streak, they're not a team that's going to go away and quit. We learned that. It's stereotypical. We've been saying it week after week, but you got to have. That's why I'm like, if this team loses, I don't worry about it happening the next game, like maybe some teams in the past couple years. But it's going to be March Madness in February and early March for the Spartans. So.
I agree completely with most of your points. I don't think we're some top 10, 15 team. I do think, like you said, we're in the 20 to the 30 range, that team fighting for a sixth seed and kind of a team. Again, nobody wants to play you, but it's not exactly Auburn or Houston. I guess.
And I say the record thing, but they're also going to get to play Purdue at home. They'll play Michigan one of the two times at home, and they're going to play Wisconsin at
Oh, yeah.
home.
No, it's
So a
a
lot of these games are
great
at the
schedule.
Breslin, where they're, I believe they are undefeated this
Oh
year.
yeah, great schedule that we drew for Big Ten play. We'll see where that can carry us. I guess maybe the last thing to lead into the Indiana game that'll be tipping off in about an hour and a half. First off, Tom Izzo has a chance to pass Bobby
Bobby
Knight for
Knight.
all-time wins. And when I say chance, he better beat this Indiana team because this Indiana team has
Down
problems. They all
bad.
they took their money and none of them care.
Interesting game against Michigan. I don't know if you paid
I
attention
did.
to that. They were down by 16 at the half and then basically roared their way back, only to like forget how to play basketball in the last minute.
But they remembered how to cover the spread from
Yes,
16.
that was crazy.
Look
Crazy. I had Michigan minus three, thankfully, so that was a
at you
push.
getting that push when you
I
really
got a
should, when you
push.
should be
But that was one
winning,
where,
but.
like, we flipped it on. I flipped it on for the last minute. And then you just see this kid throw one up, and I'm watching, and I go, did that count? And you see this, they changed the scoreboard, and you're like, oh my God, little did this guy know that that shot meant so much to so many people.
Yeah, that was funny. And I guess the last thing is, why am I dry? Oh, why are we tipping off at 9 o'clock at the Breslin against a
Yeah.
non-West Coast team? What's the rationale? I don't understand, but I guess whatever, man.
Yeah, I don't get it. I know my theory that I said earlier was Peacock's been trying to do these double header games, and they have the Purdue Michigan game going on right now
And
as we
yeah, they'll always
record.
get preference over us.
And not only that, it's also a better matchup
Oh,
in
absolutely.
general.
That's what I mean. Like that type of matchup will always get preference over 14-10 Indiana.
Yeah.
It's just nobody cares.
At 11.5 point favorites, man. That's a huge number. I know
Indiana
it's at
sucks.
home. Yeah, but like they play everybody competitively. It's not like they get tossed
Well,
around.
then
They're
maybe
not
they think that we won't be playing them.
Minnesota.
Fair enough. But then sounds like they think we won't play them competitively, but
Yeah, I gotta imagine like the there's something to the Izzo breaking the record at home against Bob Knight's
Are Fears and Booker
old
coming
team that
back
he
as
did.
well?
They were just sick, so I think I'd hope so. They weren't injury related, but I haven't heard anything.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, I guess we'll see how that goes. By the time we come back, we'll have two more games to talk about. To the Super Bowl or to the regular bowl, I don't know what we want to call this.
To the soup. We'll just call it soup. That was just like the most basic, bland tomato soup you can get, though. That wasn't no wedding soup. That wasn't no fancy chicken noodle soup. I don't know. I'm not a big soup guy, so I can't think of any fancier soups. Maybe you got something for me. I feel like you're a big soup guy.
Yeah, we do have a lot of soup at home growing up. That's part of the Mediterranean diet, but I'd say some good old like chicken tortilla soup or something
There
from
you
like a
go.
Southwest place.
That
With
makes sense.
that said,
With that said,
actual football. This is what football looks like when Alabama pays Mercer $2 million to come to Tuscaloosa for homecoming. That was an absolute beatdown. Kansas City was never in the game.
nope.
And like you don't even really get to talk about the game. You'd have to talk about narratives. Like there's no, oh, this crazy play changed this. It was no, the entire game was Patrick Mahomes running around playing Dance Dance Revolution in the pocket, and maybe not just the pocket, everywhere, trying to get free from that Philadelphia basic. I mean, I can't even call it a blitz or a pass rush. It was an every
Yeah,
game
they rush.
run.
Yeah, I saw something. It was like the way to stop Patrick Mahomes is you just rush four really, really well.
I mean, yeah,
Easier said than done, but.
absolutely easier said than done. Joe Tooney, who's a guard and had to play tackle for the Buffalo game and in these playoffs, he looked like a toddler. As soon as that ball was snapped, his feet were pretty much in Patrick Mahomes' feet. Josh Sweat had a field day with him. Jalen Carter abused the interior lineman. Brandon Graham got into it after tearing his what was it, tricep or something earlier in the season. He made a play, though he didn't play much. It was just Nolan Smith decided to show up. It was ridiculous. They were all over him, and it caused Patrick Mahomes to try and start forcing things like that Cooper DeJean interception. That's not something Mahomes throws, in my opinion, if the game is not going the way it is. I think if even if they're just regularly losing, if they're at a moment where they're still moving the ball but things haven't gone right, I think Mahomes is kind of IQ will prevail and he'll just take off and run, take the 5 yards and live to fight another down. He knew they were in trouble, tried to force some passes. That's where a couple of the interceptions were from. And it was total domination. I'm sure you've seen the stats, or people listening have seen the stats at this point, but the Eagles pressured Mahomes on like 50% of his passes. He was sacked a career high times, and they never blitzed. That's ridiculous. And for comparison, the Tom Brady Super Bowl, where they also got after him, they only pressured Mahomes on 35% of his passes in that Super Bowl. And I'm sure they did blitz there. Well, the Bucs, that is. So that was just one of the most incredible defensive line performances I've ever seen. I guess, where do you want to go from there? Well, what's the next narrative we want to talk about?
I the Super Bowl MVP, Jalen Hurts. I think proves a lot of people wrong.
I'm
Here
one of
it's
them.
a, it's I'm one of them as well. It's a guy that people said after one a guy that was in a Super Bowl 2 years ago and then underperformed last year with the entire team that underperformed last year, quite frankly. That he was told he wasn't a top five quarterback. He wasn't a top 10 quarterback. He wasn't a guy they should have gave franchise money to. And what did he do? He turned around and not only like did he have a good season, but he played his best ball on that in the Super Bowl. That was one of the best performances I've seen. And we said it was just kind of like give it to Saquon and keep it simple. Do your simple outs to AJ Brown. That wasn't really the case. I mean, if you would have told me that Saquon would only have 50 yards on like let's see, I have the stat. How many carries?
Well, it was 25
25
carries.
carries. There you go. That you would have said, okay, the Chiefs won by 14. But that wasn't the case. Jalen Hurts had, I believe, 75 rushing yards. He threw the ball methodically. He had one bad pick. And he just controlled the game well. And granted, it's easy when the Like they're looking at like the yards for the Eagles to the yards for the Chiefs as that game went on was like quite frankly comical. It
Oh
was
yeah.
like 39 to like 200 at half or something like that.
23. The Chiefs had 23
23.
yards at halftime, and 11 of them came on the very first snap of their offensive kind of drive. So they
There
had,
you go.
you take away that first snap, they had 12 yards of offense in 29 minutes and 50 seconds of football. It was the, obviously I don't want to keep talking about the defensive performance, but that was crazy. The Jalen Hurts thing is incredible. And again, as a doubter, I'll put my hand up. Now, maybe this is me underselling him. I still can't go as far as to call him a top five quarterback in the league. However, what I will say is he's definitely in the top 10, and I will absolutely give him credit for rising to the moment. Because you look at a Lamar Jackson who shrinks in the moment, Jalen
Yeah.
absolutely outplayed Mahomes. And the Chiefs said, look, like you mentioned the Saquon stats, the Chiefs said, we are going to force Jalen Hurts to beat us because we think that gives us a better chance than if we're going to let Saquon eat. And that's what they did. They stuffed the box. He could never get going. And what did Jalen Hurts do? He found AJ Brown on some deep throws. He found Dallas Goedert on some intermediate throws. Devontae Smith got involved. It was, honestly, if you want to say, this is probably the second time Jalen Hurts has outperformed Mahomes in the playoffs.
Possibly.
If you do want to go back to that Super Bowl 2 years ago, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I remember it play by play. But Jalen Hurts was sensational in that one as
35
well.
points. Yeah.
He always rises to the occasion in these moments. You
He's a
have to
winner.
tip your cap to that. So
He
again, I don't.
just kind of seems like he has a good head on his shoulders. It's
Oh, I
like
mean,
just like
you go all the
very
way back
good
to
temperament.
those.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was if you go all the
No.
way back to the Alabama days, he was the starter,
Yes.
gets
Yeah.
benched. Tua comes in, leads him to a title, and then he doesn't transfer the following season. He says, I'm
Right.
going to be the backup. And then when Tua gets hurt in an SEC title game, Jalen Hurts walks right on in, wins a game, and wins him the SEC title. Like it
Yeah.
will, you're absolutely correct. There is he is an incredible head on his shoulders. I still question a little bit of the how much
Arm
of this
strength for
was
me.
well, arm strength and how much of it is the team versus the player? And again, this is where
Sure.
I'm going to undersell him again, and that's why maybe I can't put him in the top five, is because while he won this game for an entire season, for an entire, he's never been the focal point. The Chiefs did what they did because they wanted to stop Saquon. They didn't do it because Jalen Hurts just picked him apart left, right, and center through. It was man coverage, AJ Brown.
Yeah.
And again, he made the throws. I'm not
I
going
am going to
to
call him a
Jalen Hurts.
top five quarterback. There's only three guys I think that I would, well, today, not taking into factor age, potential, all of that, right now, who I would want on my team in a playoff game, there's only three guys I would take ahead of Jalen Hurts.
Look, if we're going to isolate it to a playoff game, yeah, of
And
course
one didn't
you're
even
right.
play in the playoffs this year.
Look, you're right. If we're going to isolate it to playoff spot, but I think I'd take Mahomes, Lamar, Allen, Burrow.
I take one name off that list.
You're going to take Lamar off because he always.
Lamar goes off.
Again,
As crazy as that sounds, two-time MVP, almost should have won a third this year.
should have won a third. Not almost. He should have won his third.
I'm a big Josh Allen guy, so
Yeah, but
Josh, they've also like, and he seems another guy who seems like he has a good head on his shoulders, but like, hope like the NFL has done like a very I don't want to say smear job, but like, cause like, but like has shown they're trying to get him in front of the cameras. Cause like they're trying to emphasize how good of a guy he is. Like, I don't know. I feel like every single post I've seen is him doing something amazing or him doing something like saying something great about like somebody that is in need. Or like, I saw the video of like him. The Children's Hospital made him a video, and like he remembered all their names. And like, I hate going like down this rabbit hole because my end of my point is it seems like he's a very good guy, and the NFL is trying to show that. There, I guess that's my point without elaborating on what I mean
There
anymore.
you go. I have nothing further there. I think the next thing I wanted to shift to is how we can tie this to our hometown Detroit Lions. And that is, you have to get a defensive lineman. You have to get multiple defense. You just watch the Eagles destroy someone. You've watched the Eagles now, basically, with three separate teams. Maybe these last two were relatively similarly constructed, but still had some fundamental differences. You've watched basically three different Eagles teams make Super Bowls, and all of them were built around the trenches because the
Yep.
Eagles did not have a top three quarterback of all time to build their team around. They did it with Carson Wentz and the ghost of Nick Foles, and then the Jalen Hurts, who once again has his doubters. But this is kind of, I think, the next step in the Lions' evolution is start to get a little bit more aggressive. It's no longer we have this infinite runway. We're gonna try and keep our picks for 2029 because we need to build it for the long haul. It's like there is no long haul. The only way you get a long haul is if you have Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes. Those are your long hauls. Everyone
Yeah.
else has a different window, and it's called, do you have a good core group of players on cheap contracts? If yes, follow to next part where you take risks. You trade for AJ Brown. You sign a Saquon Barkley. You make these moves. You trade up, you trade down. Howie Roseman's the best GM in football, and this is not me saying, well, he just won a Super. He was the best GM in football before that. I've said this before on the podcast. The way he builds his teams, the emphasis on certain positions, the lack of emphasis on other, complete disregarding of positions or positions on the other hand. He is kind of what, like, the way I consider football that or roster construction from like my thought process is Howie Roseman. He is incredible. And it's time for the Lions to do the same. It's time for them to get a real pass rusher, edge rusher alongside Aiden. Za'Darius Smith was good enough. He had his moments. However, you could still argue he didn't do enough, but Aiden was gone. Maybe he's better when the stars are around him and it's a little easier for him to pick his moments. Za'Darius Smith will still be here next season, barring a random cut for no reason. And go get the second guy, whether that's Myles Garrett, who is technically by his mind available, but by Cleveland's mind not available. Maybe it's Trey Hendrickson, who could be available because the Cincinnati Bengals are just
Cheap.
ridiculously cheap. And while we talk about him, have you seen the way Joe Burrow's talked in the media?
No,
He's
I
so
know.
smart. He's so smart. Throughout the Pro Bowl
Elaborate.
and then all of these kind of basically the last like 2 weeks of like the gala of football, he's
Yeah.
gotten in front of microphones. He sat on those panels and he said, look, I'm willing to take less money. These are my guys. These are our guys. All of us want to be here. All of us want to win. We need to get this done as a team, or the front office needs to get this done. He's put pressure on them, is the most important piece of that franchise, and said, I want T. Higgins signed. I want Trey Hendrickson. Obviously, I want Ja'Marr Chase. And it's up to
Yeah.
to see what the Bengals do. But you've got people like Max Crosby, who may or may not be available depending on what the Raiders want to do with Pete Carroll and how long of a rebuild. But you have to get someone, you get aggressive, you start calling, and you give up the house, in my opinion, at this point, where before the Super Bowl, I was kind of on the fence when we talked about the Myles Garrett thing last week, where it's like, you know, maybe after like two or three first round picks, maybe it's not worth it because you're afraid and like you want to. At this point, like, what's a 2026 first round pick going to do for us? That can't play until 2026. It
Yeah.
probably can't reasonably contribute until 2027.
And you're hoping that it's 20 pick 25 through 32.
So, yeah, that's where it's. I think, like I said, it is time to get serious about winning. It's time to kind of push the chips all in and take that move that will give you a Philadelphia Eagles, a San Francisco 49ers of the years past defense that people just look at and say, I want no part of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything to go back at you with. It's, you know what the most important position is. It's been made abundantly clear after that watching that Super Bowl. Why not do it? I don't think, and I think I was the one that said I would be hesitant because I trust Brad Holmes with draft picks because that's what he's done well in Detroit. But you're kind of right. You've got to go get the guy. Windows are so small in this NFL. that you've got to go get the guy now as opposed to the guy, like you said, that's not going to be contributing for 2 or 3 years. So I'm on board. What's going to be tough for the Lions, and we'll do more in-depth stuff with off-season stuff on another episode, is as well as he's done in the draft, and you want to bring in more talent around these guys, is these guys are going to also need to get paid. Like it's the I've seen the you're going to only be able to sign two of the three of Hutchinson, Joseph, and J-Mo. I've seen who's the odd man out of, even guys that got drafted, 2 years ago, like the Jahmyr Gibbs and the Jack Campbell class. The Brian Branches has got to get paid in a year. So, I mean, it's a good problem to have, but where, I guess, do you fit in on that part of it? And that you're going to have to also pay the guys that you've drafted in that whole picture with adding
I
a
think
piece
you
like Myles
deal with
Garrett.
money problems later. I think again, this is kind of where the whole the 2027, 2029, that's later's problem. It's like you said, yes, these guys have to get paid, but their contracts won't kick in. Like Aiden Hutchinson's been in the league for 3 years. Will he get a massive contract? Absolutely, but you're picking up a fifth year option. So that massive contract's not starting until what, 2027, when he's actually getting paid $30+ million. So I agree, you're right. It's going to come to a point where you're not gonna be able to keep all of these guys that you have kind of the nostalgia ties to of, oh, well, look at what key part this was for the best Lions team we've ever seen in our lives, and I don't want them to go. Well, that, like you said, that's part of being good. It's a damn good problem to have. And like you said, you trust the guys to make the right move. And you know what? Maybe one way to facilitate that is in a trade for Myles Garrett, you send away one of these young guys on a rookie deal. Maybe, you know what? Sam Laporta, you're a great player. However, maybe I think tight ends are a dime a dozen. Maybe I think that we can sit there, get similar production, similar blocking, similar value from someone who is not going to cost as much now, or not going to cost as, or who costs similarly now and won't cost as much when it's time to pay Sam Laporta $17 to $20 million.
They basically just did that 2 years ago with Hawkins.
Perfect example. There you go. That I'm actually I didn't even think about that, but that's perfect. Is it a good position? Is it a good player? Yeah. Does it impact winning? No. We watched Jonnu Smith put up numbers for Miami. We watched Brock Bowers, one of the best rookie tight ends ever, or the best rookie tight end ever, the best tight end in football. Where's his team at? I don't see them playing high-level football in January and February. It's just those are the things that are later's problem that you have that we would trust Brad Holmes to make decisions on. But I don't think the whole money thing is something that you have to worry about now. And not to mention, it's not my money. I'm not paying for Myles Garrett or Jameson Williams or Brian Branch. Martha Ford's doing that. Or the NFL is. So I don't care what they do with the money. Just find a way to win me a Super Bowl.
That is so funny. Is like, and this isn't as bad as the NFL. You wouldn't because you're not as big of an NHL, and it's because NHL has the hardest cap in the four major sports. Is NHL fans are so everything is so like, oh, what's the number? Like, how many years? Like, oh, what's the no, it's never like your first question is never, oh my God, we signed Patrick Kane. It's for what number? And like, realistically, like you said, that's not your
Not
money. Who the
taxpayer
hell cares?
dollars.
Like,
We're not building a new stadium here.
is like you got to think like that, like a non-hockey fan. Hockey fans need to think like non-hockey fans. I am imputing my hockey fandom into that question by asking that for the Lions. So.
Anything else? I think this will be a shorter episode, unless you have something to add.
No, I mean, like, what do you think of the halftime show? I don't know.
Oh, I mean, I'm kind of glad we brought this up because I feel like you're gonna have more to say here because I don't really care about halftime shows, celebrity beefs. I mean, I heard all the stories and he did this and he brought this ex-girlfriend out and she started dancing like
Serena
she was at
Williams,
Wimbledon
don't just
15
call her the
years ago and
ex-girl.
everyone got mad at her for dancing then and so now she's dancing on him now. I didn't care much for it. I don't even think I really watched. I kind of turned around and started looking at my phone for 15 minutes. I guess it seemed like it gathered attention and it got clicks, so like it did its purpose.
Yeah, it was so interesting to me because I'm not a fan of rap music, so it's like, and I personally don't think rap music sounds that good live. So it's like it was never going to be the greatest performance for me. I thought he did a good job of putting the Easter eggs in and, making it about the beef. I have mixed feelings about that in general, but I don't know. It was a good show. Like, it was entertaining. Like, what surprised me so much was people either were like, oh my God, that was like, did you hear him call Trump Drake? And like, he had every Easter egg and it was the most creative thing ever. Or it was like utter dog sh like crap. It was
Yeah, I
what
mean,
people said is like, why can't there just be a middle on that?
I heard, obviously, you hear all points of the spectrum when you're on social media, and these people loved it, these hated it. I've never found that much enjoyment out of like digging into these kinds of things, so I don't have much to say. I mean, same with the commercials. When the game wasn't on, I didn't really care much. It was like,
I watched it. Normally, yeah, Super Bowl, I pay attention. I'm one of those persons that go like, I watch them and I go like, haha, like funny, creative, like that was cool. And then like, I don't like, everyone's like, what was your favorite commercial the next day? And I was like, I
I don't
pay
know.
attention. I don't like sit on my phone like that, like you do. But
In one ear, out the other.
I don't remember it the next day. So that's
No,
kind
yeah.
of how I.
Yeah, I think this will be a shorter episode. I have nothing else. So if you don't, I will leave everyone with a thank you very much for making it this far. We appreciate it. And in honor of the Big Ten leading Michigan State Spartans tipping off in another hour, I will say go green.
Go white, beat the